stand by while NCLA cuts through the noise to signal abuse of administrative power. This is Administrative Static with Mark Chenoweth and John Vecchione.
Welcome to Administrative Static. Mark Chenoweth and Janine Yunus with you. John Vecchione is on vacation, so we will be able to, mock him mercilessly or something. We'll have fun. But before we get to that, maybe we'll have at least one serious topic today, even though it is a holiday weekend and time for some fun. I don't think we ever talked on this program, Janine, about the Harrow v. Department of Defense decision that the Supreme Court issued back on May 16th, and that's not a case that NCLA was really following. But once the decision came out, we took a look at it and said, hey, that seems sort of relevant to another case that we are paying attention to, because, in fact, the other case is our cert petition. So I thought I would just briefly talk about the Harrow v. Department of Defense decision and then explain why we think it might be relevant to the pending cert petition that we have in the Metal Conversion Technologies v. U.S. Department of Transportation case. How does that sound?
That sounds great.
Okay. So the Harrow case, and I have read this, but I have not, like I said, we did not follow this case, so I don't have it committed to knowledge the way that I do cases that we. That we've worked on for months at a time or years at a time often. But it appears that what happened in this case is that the Department of Defense had furloughed Mr. Harrow, a guy named Stuart Harrow, and he challenged that decision before the Merit Systems Protection Board. And the MSPB is a federal agency that essentially protects civil service folks.
Oh, yeah.
So, if you try to fire, if the SEC wants to fire one of their administrative law judges, for example, they would recommend to the Merit Systems Protection Board to fire them, and then they would try to get rid of them that way. That's why there's
multiple. Is this what came up in the federal employees vaccination case, or is that something different?
No, I think so. I think you're right that they had to exhaust their administrative remedies kind of thing. And this would be one of the layers of protection for ALJs as well as the Merit Systems Protection Board. So apparently after a five-year delay, the MSPB ruled against Harrow. And Harrow had a right to appeal that decision to the Court of Appeals for the Federal Circuit. But under the statute, he had to do so within 60 days of the board's final order. But, a five-year delay, apparently they didn't still have an accurate email address for him, or the physical address had even changed, and so he just didn't learn of the opinion of the MSPB within that 60-day time period. So, it was actually more than 120 days after the board's order had issued that Harrow submitted his petition, and.
A five-year delay seems a little bit problematic, don't you?
Well, but that's the delay on the board's part issue the decision. So they get 5 years to dicker around, and then he has only 60 days to appeal.
That doesn't
right?
seem quite fair, and they don't have to even show that he was aware of the decision.
No, they don't. And the according to Justice Kagan's decision for a unanimous Supreme Court, he learned of the decision only from a search he did of the board's website after the 60-day period had already run. So anyway, he decided to go ahead and appeal anyway to the Federal Circuit. And I guess the Federal Circuit is the one we like to kick around the most here because of what they're doing to Judge Pauli Newman. But yet again, they're reversed by the Supreme Court here, 9-0. So they may need to, do some... go back to school or something, the folks over there at the Federal Circuit. But in all seriousness, they treated the deadline as an unalterable jurisdictional requirement and denied his request. But when that came up to the Supreme Court, they said, no. This is, you know, there's equitable tolling is available in this sort of situation. The 60-day filing deadline is not jurisdictional, that although the procedural rules that govern the litigation process are phrased in mandatory terms, that doesn't mean they aren't subject to exceptions like waiver and forfeiture and equitable tolling. And that when Congress wants to enact a jurisdictional requirement, it's doing that against this background rule that it knows that the courts don't view these things as denying equitable tolling.
Equitable tolling for people who don't?
Oh, yeah. So equitable tolling would just be that for reasons of fairness, we need to not apply the 60-day limit in
which
this
would seem
situation.
To be, if he was not aware of it, the exactly. ruling, that would seem to be a situation where equitable tolling makes sense.
Absolutely. And there's unfair surprise after 5 years to suddenly spring the decision, and they didn't have the right address, so he didn't have actual notice of it. I mean, there's all these things working in his favor here. And the court said, look, when Congress enacts a jurisdictional requirement, then it marks the boundaries of a court's power, and a litigant's failure to follow the rule deprives a court of all authority to hear a case without any exceptions. But the court's only going to treat a procedural requirement as jurisdictional if Congress clearly states that it is. And under that approach, most time bars are non-jurisdictional, even when they're framed in mandatory terms. So maybe a little bit of a surprising result, but the court didn't think that the language in the provision that Harrow violated suggested anything different. It just had sort of usual language about an appeal shall be filed within 60 days after the board issues the notice of the final order. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't sort of, and we really mean it, and no exceptions ever, you know, kind of language. And so you had 9 justices at the Supreme Court who said, look, you know, we don't view that as taking away his right to appeal. And they would rather give him an opportunity to challenge the Merit Systems Protection Board on the merits, so to speak.
So what happens now? So it goes back down.
So yeah, it was vacated and remanded, and the 60-day deadline to appeal the board decision doesn't come into play, or it gets equitably told here, and he gets to go back and sort of do it for real now. And so the reason that matters for us is because we have this cert petition, and by we, I really mean Shang Li, our colleagues Shang Li and Kara Rollins, who have currently pending at the Supreme Court a cert petition in a case called Metal Conversion Technologies v. U.S. Department of Transportation. And the question presented in that case is whether the Federal Rule of Appellate Procedure 26B precludes equitable tolling, there's that phrase again, of 49 U.S.C. Section 5127A, which is a particular statute that has an ordinary non-jurisdictional deadline to petition for review of an agency's final action. And so it's very much, you know, it's not the exact same provision, so the Harrow decision won't be controlling here, but it's the exact same kind of question, i.e., is equitable tolling available, or the background facts here are in some ways even more egregious, because our client, Metal Conversion Technologies, they received a decision from an ALJ at the Department of Transportation. And it turns out that ALJ was appointed in violation of the Appointments Clause.
Oh, wow.
And they didn't know it at the time that the decision came out. It was actually in a different NCLA case that DOT, when they were trying to get out of answering some other allegations that we made, told the Sixth Circuit, well, actually, this ALJ was never properly appointed, so we're just gonna confess error, and you can rule against us on
that
basis.
They might not have sat through that defense.
And so, so that's what they did. And we said, well, wait a minute. If this guy wasn't properly appointed, then all of those different decisions that he handed down during that time frame are all subject to challenge. And so we represented Metal Technologies, and they did not file within the 60-day deadline after this guy had ruled against them, but they did file within 60 days of when they learned about the defect in his appointment. And so we're trying to tell the Supreme Court that's enough. And I don't know about you, Jeanine, but it seems to me that it'd be hard to see the court coming down the way it did in Harrow and then ruling against us in this case.
So, and it's currently the cert petition is pending. Is that right?
Correct.
So what do you see happening do you think they'll just, do you think they'll grant cert or they'll just issue some kind of summary?
I think they'll probably grant cert just because it's a completely different statutory provision. Yeah. And they probably view these things as needing to be decided, on their own. I mean, if this were something where the court of, I suppose they could just summarily reverse and send it back down for the court of appeals to take another look at in light of Harrow. That's a possibility. This was the U.S. Court of Appeals for the 11th Circuit in the Metal Conversion Technologies case. So, it's possible that they could do that rather than call for full briefing.
Are there circuit splits on this issue, or is there a circuit split?
There is a circuit split on this issue, and the other thing that's different about this is since it's a federal rule of appellate procedure, that question was actually in the Harrow case too. It was sort of a backup argument that the government had made. It was sort of besides everything else, the federal rule of appellate procedure here precludes equitable tolling, and the court didn't reach that question. They reserved it in Harrow, which sort of tells me, if you're reserving the question, then you probably think that it deserves separate briefing. So.
Right. So that's good news for our client.
And yeah, I think so.
Conversion.
I think so. I mean, at least, if I'll put it this way, if Harrow had come out the other way and they'd said, oh, no, the statute means what it says, no equitable tolling, you're out of luck, then I would say that that would have been bad news for our client. So getting the decision that we did but that the court handed down in Harrow certainly makes me feel more optimistic about our chances for a cert grant in metal conversion technologies.
Really quick, when will we know?
Sometime in June.